You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com for over a year now. The 1 year anniversary is coming up soon. And I am obviously one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. For the second day in a row, you'll get me instead of Tony. Tony will be back with you guys on Friday. And of course, we'll be back together for a Monday week close, probably end of season show Monday. I said Monday, maybe next Tuesday, but that's all I've got on that for now. We'll also have a special guest next week, but we'll talk about that later. Today, I'm going to preview the Warriors game that is tonight, and then I'm going to talk about some playoff issues and just an overall discussion about the playoffs for the Pacers, so stick around for that. Let's get right to it to start. Pacers play the Warriors tonight at 7 p.m. I'm recording this podcast at 6:11 on Wednesday evening, but we'll post on Thursday, obviously, so I'm going to pretend it's Thursday as I'm talking. Pacers play the Warriors tonight at 7 p.m. Second time they'll meet in the last 8 days. They played on March 27th last time. The Pacers beat them 92-81. Of course, it'll be a completely different game in that game. Not a single one of the Warriors' big four played. This time it'll be completely different. Draymond Green is expected to play. Kevin Durant obviously will play, and so will Klay Thompson, barring anything that changes. The main injury is to Steph Curry, who definitely won't play. Patrick McCaw had a lumbar issue. I know if you probably seen the play out there where Vince Carter undercut him. And then you got Andre Iguodala, who probably won't play. He's doubtful with some knee soreness. He has missed a bunch of games recently, but he's targeting, I think, either the Pacers game or the Warriors' falling game to come back. And then Kevin Looney is doubtful also to play with the flu. On the Pacers' side, there aren't a ton of injuries. There are actually no injuries on the injury report, which is fortunate for the Pacers this time of year. They just got DeMar Sabonis off injury report. Obviously, Miles Turner was hurt a little before. And then there was a game where Trevor Booker tweaked his ankle. But no injury for the Pacers right now. But the biggest thing coming into this game is definitely going to be how the Pacers match up against Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, because it will be a good test for whether Indiana plays Philadelphia or Cleveland in the first round. Those are their two most likely matchups. But if you think about it, Durant is basically a version of LeBron. I know he's a little bit different player, a little better shooter, obviously better with the ball in his hands, but he's like guarding LeBron. It's like guarding that level of player, and that will probably be the task of Thaddeus Young, who guarded LeBron in previous Pacers-Cleveland matchups. So that'll be good practice for him to be on Durant most of the night. I imagine he'll probably get beat a ton. Durant is obviously, I think, the second-best player in the world right now, but it'll be good practice nonetheless. And then the other one is Klay Thompson. I imagine Victor Oladipo will start on him, but there is a chance you could see Bojan. You could see Vic maybe starting on Draymond Green and just sort of playing off him. Draymond has been a pretty miserable three-point shooter this year. He's shooting, I think, below 29% now from three. He was at least 10 days ago. And he also was 0-for-4 in the last game against the Thunder. Draymond has just not been a good 0-for-3, sorry, excuse me, from three in the last game against the Thunder. Draymond Green has just not been a good three-point shooter. And I imagine Vic was the guard we could play off him and sort of play like I like him to play as kind of a free safety defender, cutting off passing lanes, double teaming, coming around for swats behind players, things like that. Things Vic does really well. But I think there'll be some of the game at least where we'll see Victor Oladipo on Klay Thompson. Also good practice for him if they go against the Wizards in the first round. If Oladipo has to guard Beal or Wall, that's a heck of a matchup and it's a huge task. So Thompson is kind of similar to Beal. He's probably the most similar in the NBA you can get to each other is Beal. Among shooting guards, at least is Beal, McCollum, Thompson are all kind of somewhat of the same players. I think Beal's a little better ball handler, but it's beside the point. I think really Klay gets the opportunity to put the ball on the ground that much. When it also comes to Kevin Durant, a good thing to think about is Thaddeus Young will be getting practice against LeBron, but also Ben Simmons a little bit. I have a pretty good feeling based on the last time the Pacers played the 76ers that Thaddeus Young will probably get a chance to guard Ben Simmons most of the time, and they'll kind of rework the team around that. But who knows? But it'd be good practice for Thaddeus Young nonetheless to be able to guard Durant, because he has kind of become their de facto guard on a small forward, essentially. And they're all, if they have to play LeBron, if they have to play Ben Simmons, who I know Ben Simmons is a point guard, but he's really a small forward playing point guard, I guess is the best way to put it, kind of like what LeBron does. But it's good practice because there are a lot of good small forwards. That's even Jason Tatum on Boston is pretty good. Good practice for Thaddeus Young, no matter what happens in the game. The next big thing I'm looking at is Quinn Cook. He's basically been their their replacement, Steph Curry, and he has been their starter. You know, he's been starting over Sean Livingston. Livingston didn't play in that last game with the Thunder, but he'll probably play this time. But he's basically been, you know, their best way to replicate Steph Curry, which you obviously can't do. It's impossible to replicate Steph Curry, but their best possible way to do it, he's more of a shooter, three-point shooter than Livingston. He fits better with the starters, but obviously it's Durant running the show. But Quinn Cook's the player to watch because last time the Pacers played against the Warriors, which was, like I said, 8 days ago, Cook had basically the green light to go. He took the most shots, took 17 shots. He only made 5 of them, only had 11 points, but he had the green light to go for what it was. And I imagine he'll be guarded by Darren Collison, and he seemed like he had the upper hand on Collison for a while. You know, I think the Pacers made a huge run in the third and obviously the fourth quarters to really kind of close the game and win the game and really just separate themselves from the Warriors. But this time, they won't be fortunate enough. If they end up going down, like they did like 9.5, they will not be able to come back because Kevin Durant is way too good. And that's really where this game is going to hinge on, is Kevin Durant. I can say it 100 times. I can say it 1,000 times. Kevin Durant is the second best player in the world, and he'll probably win this game himself. He did that against the Thunder where he had 34 points. But Kevin Durant is awesome. And I think the only way you can beat this team is if Kevin Durant has a bad shooting night. I mean, even against the Thunder, Kevin Durant went 9 of 25, but he still had 34 points because he kept getting the line. He had 14 free throws. You know, he has, with Curry out, really the ability to shoot 30 shots a game. You know, Klay Thompson took 19 in the last game, but those guys have the opportunity together to shoot 60 shots. There's nobody else on the team that really has the authority or, you know, the bravado to sort of say, hey, you guys can't shoot. Maybe Draymond a little bit, but Draymond's been such a bad shooter that it doesn't really matter. There's nobody that really has the authority to tell Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson not to shoot the ball. So those guys are just going to shoot. And if they get hot, which they do a lot, you know, I believe there's a game 2 years ago where Klay Thompson had 37 against the Pacers or 39, something like that, right? I went to the game where he just got hot and kept hitting and hitting shots. And it's demoralizing because, I mean, if Klay Thompson hits 6 or 7 in a row, the game can quickly go from maybe one possession game to a 15-20 point game just like the snap of a finger. I mean, you barely see it coming. That's really what this game hinges on, is those two guys. If the Pacers can somehow slow those guys down, which, you know, Pacers have a pretty decent defense as of late. I think they're a top 5 defense in the last month or so. They've been a top 10 defense since the beginning of the year. That is 2018, is what I mean. So maybe they have a shot at slowing them down. But my guess is the Pacers will try to go, you know, they have last time they played them when they were fully healthy last year, they tried to go basically pace for pace with them, which is not really what works, but maybe because the Warriors don't have Steph Curry, you can kind of go pace to pace with them. You know, I could really see a game where Durant has 40, Klay has 30, but then also Depot has 35, and another guy, you know, Bogdan has 28. But that probably still means the Pacers lost if they try to go pace to pace with them. The best chance the Pacers have is really just completely slowing the game down. Miles Turner is going to have a matchup advantage. He's going to be guarded by Zaza and Jordan Bell. I know he got stuffed by Jordan Bell in the last time they played, but overall, Turner's going to have the mismatch, the ability to sort of basically stretch the floor and in a sense, maybe force the Warriors into really playing Draymond Green at the 5, because they will be without Andre Iguodala, I think, so that means they'll probably slot in the lineup if they try to go all stretch. It's going to look like Quinn Cook, Livingston, Durant, Thompson, Green is probably what it looks like with Durant playing the 4. Which then you can take advantage of him on the other end a little bit because Thad Young can use his bigger body to back him down, and maybe that works. But I worry that also that Klay Thompson's defense is really good, and it could slow down Vic. And if it shuts down Vic, that could be it. But Turner's the guy. If Turner can have a huge game, it could really flip things. You know, if Turner has – this could be a 30-point Turner game. I think there was a game his rookie year against the Warriors where he had 23. It was the first kind of time we saw Turner make this pop. Maybe Turner can have a 30-point game. That would be huge. This game is at home. Also an advantage. Nonetheless, and the Pacers need it more than the Warriors. The Warriors are basically locked in at the 2 seed. Look at the standings real quick, but I'm pretty sure they are 100% locked in the 2 seed, while the Pacers are fighting for the possible shot at a 3 seed. So it matters more to them, but who knows, really. And it is the first night of a back-to-back, so if they lose, you know, there's a chance they end up going down big. You just see the starters pushed to the side and really given an opportunity to really rest up, because they need to at least win one of these 2 games. I think the Pacers have pretty much locked up a top being in the 3 to 5 seed range. But they, you know, they would probably tell you they want to be 3, and that's what they're shooting for. But the 4 seed is more realistic, and it's possible. The Pacers basically went out, which, you know, they could do. It's going to be tough. The Warriors are actually a really good team. But Philly could lose to Cleveland, and that would put them back in the discussion. And Philly plays Milwaukee, and they own the tiebreaker over Philly. So that would at least give them a shot to be the 4 seed in a 4 or 5 matchup, have home court, which I think is really important to this team, whether it's 3 or 4. Just having home court advantage in a series is really important to them, which I think they need to get to 50 wins for that to happen. Right now, Philadelphia is 47-30. Indiana is 46-32. Philly's schedule is pretty much cupcake except for a game against Cleveland on Friday. They play the Pistons. You actually already know the score of the Pistons game. They play them on Wednesday. They have already played them, you know, score between this podcast. Then I believe they travel to Cleveland on Friday, Dallas, and then a back-to-back against Atlanta and Milwaukee. So really, maybe they lose to the Pistons. It is a back-to-back for them, but, you know, the Pistons are also tanking, so who knows. They're probably going to lose 2 more games. They'll probably end up at, what is their record? They'll end up at 50-32, and that's where the Pacers need to end up. So we'll see if that happens. When it comes to the playoffs, though, I did want to talk about the fact that there's a lot of, you know, worrying the Pacers might play Cleveland in the first round. People are freaking out. You know, I've seen a couple of Twitter posts here or there. Maybe people aren't freaking out. People are concerned, and I'm concerned. But at the end of the day, I don't know if it's that big of a deal if they draw Cleveland in the first round over Philly, because it's going to be a tough matchup, and I think losing to Cleveland in 7 versus, like, Philly in 7 is more dignified. You know, if this team, obviously, they don't get swept. No matter what happens, they need to win, I'd say, 2 playoff games to at least keep their heads up high, 3 to really say, hey, we were in it. You know, if they play Cleveland to 7 games and they lose, they'll be disappointed, but it'll leave them hungry and ready for next season. And you look at it as like, listen, we lost to LeBron. You can't beat LeBron in the playoffs. You know, I think if Cleveland wins the first round series, they're going to win the whole way. But I think you'd rather draw Cleveland in the first round than in the second or third round, because you sort of catch them while they're still trying to figure out. You know, Cleveland does have a lot of young players still in the roster. They have LeBron, but they have Rodney Hood and Larry Nance, guys who have minimal playoff experience. You know, then you got Kevin Love. I respect Kevin Love. I think he'll be an X factor in the series 100%. But then maybe George Hill. I think he's been hurt, so I doubt he'll play in the series. You really have a lot of kind of relying on guys who aren't super experienced, so drawing Cleveland early isn't the worst. And it's better off, I think, actually, to lose to Cleveland in 7 than beat Philly, let's say, in 6 and then get swept by the Raptors. I think you finish with a better taste in your mouth at the end of the season. But what I mean by that is you feel better about yourself. Because honestly, this Pacer team can just win even just 2 playoff games against a team like Cleveland. They're going to feel super hungry coming the next year, and that's important because they'll have that hunger, like, we need to get a top 3 seed. You know, if we had home court advantage, we would have won. That was a big motivating factor for the Pacers in 2013-14. They lost to Miami in 7, and they thought, if we come back and get the 1 seed, we can beat the Heat. Obviously, that didn't happen because of other factors, but that kind of hunger drives the team for an entire season, and it really did. It led the Pacers to an 18-1 start in 2013-14. It led them win 57 games, the second most in franchise history. Like, there are things like that where if you, you know, feel like you could have beat a team because of something, but something, you know, whether it's home court advantage or a player got hurt, it leaves you with this taste in your mouth that you're hungry for the next season. And that's what you wanted the Pacers, honestly. This playoffs to just be a learning experience for next season when you have another year of Victor Oladipo as a superstar, when Miles Turner develops a little bit more, maybe you get a little better Glenn Robinson, you get a little more chemistry with all the guys, you bring everybody back, whatever it is, next year is sort of maybe the kind of make or break year where they can make the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not going to be this year. You know, there's an outside chance it could happen this year if they get hot. Maybe it will. But, you know, I wouldn't worry if they play Cleveland or Philly. They just have to win 2 or 3 playoff games in the first round. And honestly, losing to Cleveland is probably more dignified than losing to Philly. As always, you can follow the Locked On Pacers podcast on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. I think we're trying to get to 400 followers, so let's get us there. I think we're in the high 300s right now. Let's get to 400 followers. You can follow me at FreedmanAdam5. You can follow my co-host, Tony East, at TEastMBA. As always, you can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get podcasts. Leave 5-star reviews. Do all that good stuff. Leave positive reviews. If you have any feedback on our show, feel free to tweet at us. We respond to most people who respond on Twitter, as long as they're positive. Some people are haters, but it's fine. People have to vent somehow. So feel free to tweet at me with any opinions and stuff like that. As always, I hope you enjoyed this Locked On Pacers podcast and have a great rest of your day. You don't know.